Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi abda' al-aflaq wal-ardin. والصلاة والسلام على من كان نبيا وآدم بين الماء والطين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على رسولك سيدنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Amma ba'd. Extravagance and its remedy, israf. One is ifrat, israf, and the other is the extreme, is bukhl and miserliness. Extravagance, which is israf, is the other extreme of niggardliness, the other extreme of bukhl. We have spoken on niggardliness in the previous essays. Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi next speaks about extravagance. It is the other extreme of niggardliness. The latter implies that when one is required to spend, he does not. And the former implies that he spends where he should not. Both extremes are disallowed. Allah describes Ibadur Rahman in the Holy Quran. He describes who his faithful slaves are. He says they are such people. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Walladhina idha anfaqu lam yusrifu wa lam yaqturu وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا Surah Al-Furqan. They are those, when they spend, they are neither prodigal, extravagant, nor stingy. And the just medium is in between these two extremes. So man should be neither extravagant nor niggardly. Think before you spend. This is the saying of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh about extravagance, which is actually his response to a letter. Do two things before you spend. First, ask yourself, would it be harmful if I do not spend here? If there is harm, then do not spend. If there would be no harm, it's not really harmful, then consult an advisor whether spending would be inadvisable and improper. Do what he says. By harm, I mean real harm, not imaginary harm. Prescription according to patient. The Maulana has suggested a way to keep away from extravagance. As I wrote elsewhere, a physician prescribes according to his patient's condition. Accordingly, it seems that the man to whom the Maulana wrote was very extravagant, who could not be trusted to decide for himself. So he asked him to consult someone. Maulana asks him to consult someone. Must not spend. Generally, it is that a man should think what loss he would incur if he does not spend. If I don't spend here, what loss would I incur? If that is harmful, then he should spend. Otherwise, he should not spend unnecessarily. Who should decide? There is no hard and fast rule to determine the answer. Man has to take a decision himself in certain situations. Will it benefit or not? This was the negative approach. There is another approach, the positive one. Before spending, decide, is spending of benefit or not? If it is advantageous, then spend. Otherwise, do not spend. This is the real criteria. Hence, the correct meaning of extravagance is spending that has no benefit. Israf, musrifin. Benefit is of a general nature, either worldly or religious. And the worldly benefit could be legal or allowed, but not what is disallowed. Thus, the spending of a nature that is beneficial from a religious view or a legal or allowed worldly point of view is not extravagance. Spending of a nature that has no benefit whatsoever or a benefit that is not approved by the Sharia is extravagance. Not extravagance. According to Time's criteria, many kinds of expenses which are considered extravagant by the common man are not extravagant. For example, a man spends according to what he affords on his comfort. A man spends according to what he affords on his comfort and needs, or to please himself, and spends more than what another person would spend. This is not extravagance, because he can afford to spend, say, 100 rupees, where another might spend a lesser amount. It is also not sinful. Most convenient conveyance. Another example is of a man embarking on a journey. He can go by train, which offers anything between a lower deck to an air-conditioned private saloon, or he may travel by aeroplane. The fares differ, and people may choose according to their budget. Similarly, a man may spend to please himself or his family, and it is not extravagance. 3 degrees of residence. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said about homes that there are a few degrees of residence. This principle may apply to all things. There is a simple residence, an unbuilt house of stones put together to raise its walls with an asbestos sheet overhead as the roof. The second kind is a comfortable home, which is a constructed house with a proper roof, and there's a mattress on a roped bed for a comfortable sleep. The third kind is a luxurious home, which is a spacious house, well plastered and painted so that it looks beautiful, and its bathrooms are covered with ceramic tiles. If anyone uses his lawfully acquired wealth to get this and has not borrowed money, then this is allowed. This is allowed. Each of the 3 degrees is allowed. Each of the 3 degrees is allowed. But there's a fourth kind, and the fourth kind is not allowed. The fourth kind is a pretentious display. A pretentious display. It is done to impress people with the doer's wealth. This is haram and forbidden. Of course, it is beneficial. There's some type of benefit because people will accept him as a great man, a rich man, and respect him and obey him. But this benefit is not legal and not approved by the Sharia. So this fourth kind is not approved. True standard is approved benefit. We saw that each of the first 3 kinds is beneficial, and whatever is spent on them is not extravagant expenditure. There is benefit in the fourth kind too, but it is not approved, So it is extravagance. Anything done that has no benefit is extravagance. And it includes buying something at a price higher than available elsewhere. For example, a person could buy something at a price higher than available elsewhere. Something sells in the market for about $100. And that same product, he goes in Point Fortin and it sells in Point Fortin for $300. Then why buy it there? That is also extravagance. Even sometimes, you know, we drop money. We drop a 25 cents, we drop a 10 cents, we drop a 5 cents. Searching for 2 paisas. Imagine searching for 2 paisas, like searching for 2 cents. Once I had gone to Lahore, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damod Barakatuhum wa Afiyatuhum. Once I had gone to Lahore with my father, Mufti Shafi, rahimahullah, as a child. My elder brother, Zaki Kaifi, rahmatul alayh, resided there in Lahore. The 3 of us were going somewhere on foot. It was nighttime and dark, and the place, Kapoor Talha House, had a barbed wire fence which made passage difficult. My elder brother was taking out money from his pocket when he dropped a coin. It was dark and we were in a hurry, and there was the barbed wire fence to cope with. So my brother thought that it was futile to look for the coin, and he moved ahead. But my father, Mufti Shafi alayhi rahma, asked him, "What did you drop?" He said, "A coin." My father asked, "Why do you not pick it up?" He said, "It was a 2 paisa or an anna coin, just like a cent." My father commanded him, "Whatever it was, first search for it. First search for it for a little while. And if you are unable to find it, then let it go. Then let it go. But you must search initially." So my father got someone to get a matchbox and struck a matchstick and commanded, "Look for it, look for it." The lesson is, value little things. Value little things. My father said, whether it is 1 paisa or 2, it is a blessing of Allah. It is a blessing of Allah. If you do not value it, then you do not value Allah's blessings, because it is a blessing of Allah. If you do not value it, then you do not value Allah's blessings. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the blessings with whose many portions you benefit calls upon you to value its few portions. If you take advantage of a large quantity of something, then you must also value its little quantity if you have it. So 1 paisa, just like what? $10,000. Value. When you take advantage of a large quantity of something, then you must also value its little quantity if you have it, for they are all Allah's blessings. This is why my respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, you must look out for it for some time. Spend some time over it so that you do not regard Allah's blessings as trivial and too small. If you leave it without searching for it, then it is extravagance and underestimation. If you have to be generous, then give it to a needy person. He will use it and you will not be extravagant. Spending on unapproved. There's another term which is called tabdhir, which we are coming to. When you value the little blessings of Allah and expenses and expresses gratitude for them, Allah will give you more. Otherwise, you may be punished and the blessings may be taken away. When you value the little blessings of Allah, thank Allah for small mercies. When you value the little blessings of Allah and expresses gratitude for them, Allah will give you more. Otherwise, you may be punished and the blessings may be taken away. La in shakartum la azidannakum. As for not searching for lost money, it is an example of spending without benefiting from it and squandering money. Same category. And exhibitionism is an example of benefiting from your expenditure, but the benefit is unapproved and not lawful in the Sharia. Or money is spent to enjoy that which is not lawful. All of this is extravagance. There is benefit, but it is not approved. Benefit, but not approved. This is regarded as extravagance. Lam yusrifu wa lam yakturu wa kana baina dhalika qawama as ibadur rahman. There is a difference between israf and tabdhir. The ulama say that israf and tabdhir are like am and khas. General and khas, particular. Absolutely particular. The former, israf, is a general term, while the latter, tabdhir, is cause specific and particular. Tabdhir is then what? Tabdhir is to squander money on the unapproved. To squander money on the unapproved, which is unlawful. Thus, to pay, to gamble, or to spend money in gambling is to squander money in these pursuits, and this is tabdhir. Tabdhir is to squander money on that, squander money on the unapproved, like spending money for gambling. The same things are israf also. Nevertheless, when money is spent on the unlawful and forbidden, though that gives no benefit, it is israf, but it is not tabdhir. However, since israf includes tabdhir, so I have defined israf as to spend money on that which has no benefit in a general sense, or has a benefit that is unlawful. Tabdhir is to squandering in that which is haram, which is then khas and more specific, while israf is to be extravagant in a broader sense. What is mujahada then? Effort. I have stated earlier that when man is trained and his nafs is trained, he is prepared before he attains his true station, which is his goal. This preparation is called mujahada. For example, the true objective is to refrain from haram. But to attain that maqam and station, sometimes the lawful things are also disallowed to him, so that the passage to the station is smoothened. This is why the Shaykh asks their disciples to refrain from the lawful too sometimes. Anyway, the true prohibited limit of israf is when there is no benefit in spending, or if there is benefit, it is not approved. Do not spend in the preparatory stage. Maulana said this to his disciples, that before they spend, they must see whether there is any loss in not spending or not. If there is no loss in not spending, then they should leave it and not spend. This is to take the necessary course from the opposite direction and a general possibility. If you ponder over it, then there is a possibility that it is allowed. For example, though there is no loss on not spending, yet there could be benefit on spending. Both things come together, and the permitted form of extravagance is also there. However, as a measure of preparation, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi gave the instructions. if there is no loss in not spending, then to return. Though in this particular case, spending may have been allowed, you know, it may have been allowed, but you are in a preparatory stage here. Seek advice before spending. He did not stop at that, but also said that if there would be harm on not spending, then seek advice of an advisor whether it would be improper and inadvisable to spend. He did not stop at that, but also said that if there would be harm on not spending, then seek advice of an advisor whether it would be improper and inadvisable to spend. Then act as he advises. Do not decide on your own. Not for all, but this is not for all. However, this treatment is not for all people. It is not that everyone should ponder before spending whether there is loss or not on not spending, and then as a next step, if there is no likelihood of loss, then seek advice. This is not a prescription for everybody. It is only for one who is ever extravagant, over extravagant, as in the case of this person who wrote to Maulana. He was over extravagant, so Maulana gave him this prescription. Let the Sheikh decide. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi also said that harm or loss is real. Harm or loss is real. It must be real, not imaginary. There is no measure to tell us when it is harmful and when not. And a layman cannot always decide for himself. It is here that the need for a Sheikh is felt. The facts are placed before him and he gives his decision. If simply outline and rules were enough, then the Sheikh would be dispensed with and definitions would have been enough for everyone to act for himself. But that is not so. This is why Allah did not reveal only the noble Quran. He didn't reveal only the noble Quran, but also sent His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for man cannot understand merely by reading it. A guide must guide. So the Rasul came as a guide and explained the Quran in a practical way. A guide must guide. So there's a need of a guide. So the Holy Quran wasn't just sending by itself, but a guide came with it. The Sahaba, so the need of a guide, need of a Sheikh. The Sahaba, Rahmatullah Alayhi, received guidance from the Prophet, Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. He was their Sheikh. He was the Nabi. He was the Rasul. He was the mentor. He was the guide. He was the Muallim, the Mudarris, the teacher. Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, received guidance from the Nabi, the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Tabi'een received guidance from the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They passed it on to the Tabi'een, and they in turn to the Tabu'ut Tabi'een. This is the way guidance, Hidayah, Tazkiyah, Reformation, Islah, guidance is passed on from generation to generation till today. That's why even in, not just for Hadith, that there must be Sanad and there must be this chain and authority, but also in the form of Tazkiyah, purification of the soul, rectification, Islah, Shaykh, guidance. Even in this, there's also Sanad in this also, and Silsila, and there's a chain in this, chain of narration, there's authority, chain of connection. So this is the way of guidance, passed on from generation to generation to generation till today. The rules are interpreted and explained by the Sheikh to whom recourse is had. We learn from another saying of Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, I say about extravagance that when you wish to buy anything, decide whether you need it or not. If your mind is made up instantly that it is necessary, then buy it. But if you do not, and your mind is not made up, then do not buy it. For it takes half an hour to decide that it is necessary or not necessary. If it takes half an hour to decide that it is necessary, then it is not necessary. And if the demand is great in the heart, but the importance is not fathomable, then buy the thing and sit down to ponder. And if it becomes certain that it is not extravagant, then consume it. Otherwise, give it away in charity. Mufti Taqi opens up this for us. The meaning is that if the need for something is apparent at the spur of the moment, then that thing may be bought, buy it. But if it takes time to decide if it is needed or not, then that is a forced need, and in reality it is not needed. As for something that is desired much, but the need is not determined, buy it and then ponder whether you need it or not. And if you care confident that it is not extravagance, then consume it, otherwise give it away in charity. If you do not buy it, then you might lose the opportunity. So buy it at the moment, because your heart tells you to buy it. There's that feeling inside of you. Buy it at the moment and then decide afterwards. If you think it's extravagance, give it out in charity. If it was not, then consume it. There's another point here that after reading all of this, some people may think, well, you know what? And you know, so they're giving the family now only rice and dal to eat every day. Every day is rice and dal, no chicken, no fish, no goat meat, because they say now you think that is extravagance. So here, what? Just eat rice and dal every day. Rice and dal. To spend to please family. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh continues in the same saying, to feed your wife is also charity, as we said yesterday, at sadaqah. And if you buy anything that is not necessary, but only to please your wife, then too, it is not extravagance. Understand that. It is not extravagance. To feed your wife is also charity. And if you buy anything that is not necessary, but only to please one's wife, then too, it is not extravagance, because it is also mustahab, matlub, and desired that she should be pleased at heart. Provided you do not go and take a loan beyond your means to do that. It is not being extravagant if you buy anything to please your family, because you have to please your family, wife and children. It is the same thing as stated above, that spending should be for benefit, and it is not necessary that it should be your own benefit. Anyone else too could benefit, and to please other people is also beneficial to oneself. They could be anyone. Look at Maulana's own story about 52 kinds of food on one dasturkan. 52 kinds of food. Once Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh's teacher, his ustad came. Who was his teacher? Sheikh ul-Hind, Maulana Mahmud ul-Hassan. Rahimahullah. So once the teacher of Maulana Tanwi, Sheikh ul-Hind, Maulana Mahmud ul-Hassan, visited him, Rahmatullah alayhima. My respected father, Mufti Taqi is saying, my respected father, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah alayhi, said, because his father is narrating the story to him. So my respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said that Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayh had 52 kinds of dishes prepared to honor his teacher. 52 kinds of dishes on the dastakhan, prepared to honor his teacher, his ustad. So when his teacher came in, Sheikh ul-Hind, Maulana Mahmud ul-Hassan, rahimahullah, wa nawwarallahu marqadahu, when he saw them, 52 dishes on the dining mat, on the dastarkan, he asked, "What is this? What is this you have done?" Maulana Tanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, "I am not satisfied. I am still not satisfied, and wished to even have more. I am not satisfied and wish to have more." That was his response. Anyone else would have said that it was extravagance. But after all, he's the teacher of Maulana. He's Sheikh ul-Hind, Maulana Mahmud ul-Hassan. And he is the teacher. He understands very well. Anyone else would have said that it was extravagance. But here, the aim, the purpose was to honor the teacher, honor the ustad. And he also knew that nothing would be wasted. So his teacher knew that the aim was to honoring the teacher, honoring the ustad. Maulana also knew that. And he also knew that nothing would be wasted. His teacher knew that. Maulana knew that, because nothing can waste under the dastakhan. There's always someone to eat it. There will be people. Someone would use what is unconsumed. And the big aim here is to honor the teacher. If there was wastage, then that would be extravagance. There was no ostentation either. Nothing like riya and showing off here. It was demand of the heart and honor for the ustad, for the teacher. There was no extravagance. So as we come to a close, everything depends on intention, niyya. If the same thing was done to create a record, then it would have been extravagance and haram. As for gifts on occasion of marriage, shadi, etc., if they are given as part of love and friendliness from the heart, then it is sunnah. It is sunnah. But if these gifts, and there is great reward for it, for giving of these gifts, and it will fetch blessings. But if the gift which is given is to earn a name, then it would be extravagance and sinful. May Allah protect us from niggardliness, which is one extreme, miserliness, stinginess, and from the other extreme, israf and extravagance. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh.